little different this morning. You probably saw a huge sheet of paper sticking out of your bulletin. For those of you who want to, you can take a look at that now, but I'm going to let you know why that's there. Because we're doing a little something different this morning. I am going to speak briefly. I'm going to talk about prayer with you this morning, just some thoughts about prayer that I want to share briefly. But what we're going to do mostly this morning is gather together in different groups where you are with family or friends. You might change seats if you see somebody you want to pray with or that kind of thing. But we'll basically gather together in small groups and take some time to pray together. The Lord wants us to be praying deeply and consistently. And of course, you can be doing that in your homes. You can be doing it in your Sunday school classes and at youth group and small groups and different times during the week in your circles and so forth. But this is a good time for us as a church to come together and to be praying. I know it'll be a new experience, but it's a good one. We have a lot to be thankful for as this year and this decade comes to an end. For some of you, you think of new jobs, you think of healing, you think of new relationships or relationships that have gotten better. You can think about all sorts of things to be thankful for. For some of you, you're just thankful that the year is about to be over with and you can just move on to a new year. And that's true at the same time. You've got that to look forward to. Whatever it is, we have this time and this privilege to pray together. And I just want to share that is to begin to get you stimulated and thinking about this a little bit. The main idea this morning that I want you to consider as we're in prayer is this. Prayer is an interaction that leads to action. Prayer is an interaction that leads to action. You and God are spending time together talking in your groups and at home and at other times. You're having this interaction which leads to action. God has decided that prayer would be part of how He works in the world. He doesn't need us to pray. He doesn't gain some sort of power or some sort of wisdom from our prayers. He doesn't realize things He's not already aware of and suddenly say, oh, I better get involved in that. Oh, wow, those people actually need help. He's not looking around the earth with imperfect vision, sort of blind to reality, and then we bring it up and He says, oh, yeah, somebody better do something about that. Let me get on that. He doesn't say that. But He's chosen to let our prayers be part of His work in the world. So He's listening to us. He's expecting us to be watching and aware, and it's usually not too difficult for us. And so we pray and He listens. And we have this incredible privilege as we do this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And so as I talk about prayer being this interaction that leads to action, I want you to have that in your minds, but I want you to recognize that what's really happening when you pray is that the God of all creation, the God who made everything, the God who overcame death and defeated Satan, the God who used His power to do every good thing you can think of in the world, is listening when you pray. As soon as you say, Our Father, as soon as you say, Dear Jesus, or Dear God, or Heavenly Father, or whatever term you use, as soon as you say that, God inclines His ear to you. It's as if He leans in just a little bit, or He turns in your direction to hear what you have to say. The Trinity itself has chosen, we're going to listen. And so you begin to speak, and whatever they've been up to, whether it was receiving worship or working halfway around the world, somehow in the abundant power and wonder of our amazing God, you start speaking and they start listening. And He listens and He turns in your direction and hears what you have to say. When I was first learning to pray, and I still have plenty to learn, but one of the things that people gave me that helped me was the simple acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. You might have heard of this before, but it's a simple way just to kind of walk through prayer with a little bit of structure, but quite a bit of freedom at the same time. And here's how it works. And it's kind of what we'll do this morning, and this is broken out on your sheet for you. But A is the first letter, adoration. The idea is simple. It's to adore God. It's to praise the Lord for good things that He's done or to praise the Lord for good qualities that He has. So as you look at that, I put down some suggestions. They're just that, suggestions. You may have things in your mind already that you say, I'm ready to praise Him. I know what I'm ready to say, and that's great. Go for it. If these things that I wrote down help you a little bit, then good. You can use those. The next one is confession, for C in Acts. And this confession is just the idea that there are things that you have done that you should not have done or said you shouldn't have said or things you should have said or should have done that you didn't do. And you'll know in your own hearts, even as you might be praying in a group, there may be things that you say, you know, silently, I need to pray by myself about some things and confess them. Or it may be that you pray and you do it together as a group, and there's some sort of group experience that goes on with confession of sin. Confession happens in both ways. It's a sense of, there's an element of relationship involved in confession, but there's also an element of privacy involved. But it's a time to confess to the Lord sins that you know you need to share with Him. The next letter is T for thanksgiving. There's things to be thankful for, things to say thank you, Lord, for this and thank you, Lord, for that. And I put down some of those. And lastly is supplication. That list is quite a bit longer. I broke it out into two categories, again, just trying to be a little bit helpful. On the back side of your page, one of the categories is suggested prayers for our community and then suggested prayers for our church. And these are just guidelines, just things to think about as you consider how you can have interaction with God that would lead Him to action. These are just some starting points for your prayer time. One of the things that I want us to do most of all is to be praying. So as we go through this time, I'm going to try to help those of you who kind of wonder, how are you doing and what's next? And you might be thinking about how to walk through this. So about every 5 minutes, I'm going to read a scripture, which is also there on your sheets, and I'm going to say a brief prayer. And that's just a way for you to know where we are in the process as a group. You don't have to stop. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to pray with me. If you're as a group praying and you're moving and you're adoring or you're confessing or you're making your requests, that's fine. Wherever you are is fine. I'm just letting you know that about every 5 minutes I'll do that. When we reach the end of the time in prayer, I will close us all in prayer, and at that point we'll continue worship with singing. So hopefully that makes sense, but most of all, just be in prayer together and recognize that what's on your sheet there is just a guide. And again, if you want to sit with a few other people or you want to be together with your family or however you work that out, that'll be fine. But this is a good time to pray and to have confidence in the Lord that He hears us when we're speaking and He answers our prayer. And we have much to be thankful for and to look back on and much to look forward to in the year of 2020. And I think it'll be great for us as a church to be praying together. Let's take some time now and pray. Lord, we are incredibly grateful and incredibly blessed. We thank You for the county that we live in. We thank You for the country that we live in. We thank You for what we can look back on over the last 10 years, look back on over the last year. We know that You have answered prayer. We know that You have healed people. We know that You've got people into medical facilities and also got people out of medical facilities. And we thank You and praise You for that. Some of us have started new jobs this year. Some of us have been grateful and continued to have the jobs we've had, and we're grateful for that, Lord. And just recognize that there's so much grace and so much kindness and so much of Your power at work in our lives over the last 10 years. As we enter into this time as a church, as we pray, would You be working, Holy Spirit, in each one of our hearts and minds? We're all in different places. Some of us are thrilled to adore and to praise You, and some of us have a lot of requests, and You are our loving Father who can hear them all. And we're just grateful that out of this conversation with You, out of this time in prayer with You, Your heart's going to be moved and You're going to be at work in the world and in work in our county and our families and our schools in ways that You haven't been before. And we're thankful for that. And we praise You that it's not just worship and adoring and celebrating how good You are, but it's also discovering that You are a loving Heavenly Father. And we thank You and we praise You for that. And we pray all these things in Your name. Amen. Psalm 150. Verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Almighty God, part of what we praise you for is your holiness. The fact that in a world so divided and broken and stained and tainted and corrupted with selfishness and evil choices and evil behaviors, you have maintained your holiness. You have never once been corrupted or impure or sinful in any way. And we praise you and we give you glory and honor and power for that. And you rule over the nations and you help us in trouble. You are always loving and kind. And we praise you and we give you glory. There is no God like you. And there is no God like you who is both holy and loving. And it's your holiness and your love that gives us confidence, that gives us a sense of security, that even as we come before you and know that we have to confess some things to you, confessing them as a church, confessing them as individuals, confessing them as families or as couples or as friends, knowing that there's things in our lives that are not what they should be and things that have been done that shouldn't have been done and some other things we've said that we should have, and sometimes we don't say the things we should. We find ourselves intimidated or uninterested or whatever it might be, and we, in that moment, choose not to be faithful. And these are the things that we take time now to confess to you, recognizing that they are sins and that we need to confess them to you and receive your forgiveness. That's the wonder of it all, that we are aware of our sin, but at the end of the process, at the end of the confession, we discover that you have forgiven us, that you have cleansed us, that you have accepted us and loved us with an everlasting love, and that the blood of Christ has cleansed us, that even though our sins might have been like scarlet, your blood, Christ, has made us white as snow. And it is a beautiful and an amazing thing, and we thank you for it. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let us continue in prayer. Jesus, we have much hope and much joy and much love in our lives because of you. You have made a way for us to be forgiven. And we rest in that forgiveness and we have eternal security for all of time, no matter how bad our sins were or how bad our sins will be. We have eternal security that if we have confessed you as Lord, you've taken control of our lives and you've promised to guide us to the destination that you have always wanted for us, to be with the Father and the Spirit and you in heaven forever. And we thank you and we praise you for that. We pray that you would keep us from evil, and that you would deliver us from the evil one. We recognize we will never live perfectly or speak perfectly. And we trust in your grace and we trust in your kindness to deliver us from evil and to help us be holy, even at the same time that we know that your grace has covered over a multitude of our sins and will continue to do so. We thank you for this and we thank you for many other things. As we look back on the last several weeks and several months and in even several years, we see your faithfulness to this church. We see your goodness to us as individuals. We know that you have done good things in our community. You've done good things in our family, good things in our lives, and we thank you for that. This has been a year where you provided things that we needed, a year when you sustained us through hard times, a year when you comforted us and loved us and supported us emotionally as we struggled and as we grieved and as we had loss in our lives and in our church. You have been good to us, and we thank you and we praise you for that. And we remember your word, your own teaching, and your own encouragement to us of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let us continue in prayer. And now, Lord, we bring before you different needs, some that all of us know about and think about and pray for and lift up to you, and others that are unique to us, unique to our families, unique to our neighbors or our school or our job. But we lift these things up to you knowing that you hear our requests and you care for us. And we know that we can pray for our community and for our church. We can gather with one voice, lifting up our requests to you and having confidence that you hear us and you love us and you stand ready to help us and to work in our lives and to work through our lives and to work through our church. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, for caring about our community. Some of the things that cross our mind for our schools, for the economy here, for our families and our neighborhoods, these different things, the street we live on, there's a lot of things we become aware of, and then we read stuff in the paper, and we think about the future, and we think about the present, and we quickly realize there's not a lot we can do to change everything. And we realize that we can do some things that make small differences here and there or make big differences here and there, and we're thankful for those, but we recognize that there are just many, many situations which we need to lift up to you and trust you with, and we lift up to you these situations and these requests. As the pastor here, Father, I thank you that we've had this privilege to pray, and I lift up to you the many requests of these people. I haven't heard any of them, but I care for and love these people and appreciate these people and the time that we have together in worship, and I lift up their requests to you, praying with them for their many needs and also celebrating their praises and rejoicing in the things they have to be thankful for and rejoicing that you have forgiven all of us and you have set all of us free. The second we trusted in you, the second we hoped in you, the second we cried out for you, you said, "It is finished, it is forgiven," and we thank you and we praise you for that. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 151, "Good Christian Men Rejoice."